The regular January 2009 meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors will come to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and country.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The record will reflect that all five board members are present, so we have a quorum. Mr. Montanen, is there a report from closed session?
There are items discussed in closed session as listed on the last regularly scheduled meeting agenda, and there's nothing to...
For the potential conflict with Director Frank D'Amico, items 6A and 6D for separate consideration, so he can participate in the rest of the consent agenda. The 6A is the expenditure report where there's a release of retention to Boyle Engineering, or, you know, it's a project that's related to Boyle Engineering. It's a release of retention to the contractor. But, you know, to be on the safe side and be cautious, he would prefer that he not participate in that. And then the Boyle merger agreement with AECOM, which is 6D.
Very fine. We'll consider 6A and 6D separately then. Thank you. Any others? If not, the agenda stands as published with the caveat that the two consent calendar items discussed will be considered separately.
Well, could I just
clarify? Director Chaldica.
The fire engine is not the one that is currently used for parades, is that correct?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Okay, good. There are no acknowledgments or presentations this afternoon, so we will go to special reports as a representative of the Sheriff's Department here.
He was going to be tied up in court on a matter today, so he said he might be late. So if Senior Deputy Steve shows up, then...
We will recognize him at that time. My condolences to him for having to be in court. Managers and board reports. We'll begin with the general manager's report.
Okay, thank you. I just put, you've got my written report in front of you about the notice of the holiday for next month. The President's Day is on February 16th, and for the public's information, we still are available 24 hours a day for emergencies or service interruptions, and they can dial 927-6223 to make their report. Just reminding the board and the public of next month's board meeting change. It won't be on the fourth Thursday. It will be on February 19th, which is the third Thursday. We completed the second quarterly report, and it was published on the CCSD website yesterday, as I recall. So it is out there in a timely manner, and I appreciate Finance Manager Alan LeBossier for getting that done with all the other many tasks that he had to get accomplished these past few weeks. I've attached to this report, and it's also posted to the website, the current and, quite frankly, the two-year voluntary lot merger program update report. It's been shared and distributed with the Open Space Committee and the BRP Citizens Finance Committee. It's posted on the website as well. But for the public's information, so far a total of 280 lots have been reduced at a cost. District Council is reminding me, which I think is a good point of clarification. It's the only transaction we've had where a private party was selling a commercial EDU and we received the fee. So it wasn't like we were out there in the market selling commercial EDU. So Right. Thank you for that clarification. That's important. I noted the Mission Country Disposal Spring Cleanup for our neighbors and constituents in the community. It will be April 13th through 17th. This is an opportunity to bag extra trash and put aside some extra recycling and or green waste, and you put it out on your regular trash day and it gets picked up for free, no charge. That's April 13th through 17th. Mark your calendars. And then under Parks and Recreation, we have a couple of things to report. Some of you attended the grand opening of the flood control and crosstown trail projects across the street. That was on January 21st. This is a major safety measure, and I was visiting with some of the folks who preceded me, and that would be not only county staff but county public officials and engineering staff who worked on this project for over a dozen years. So they were there in more of a celebratory fashion because it was something that they had worked on for a lot longer than any of us have worked on, except for Director Chaldicott, who's been on the board for a little bit longer than some of the others. We had the town criers Bev and Jerry Praver, and then Marjorie Ott represented the Chamber of Commerce, County Supervisor Bruce Gibson, and former County Supervisor Shirley Bianchi, along with her former legislative analyst Richard Macedo. And then we had County Public Works staff members to acknowledge Dean Benedicts, Pavo Ogren, and Pete Newell. Other key contributors included Greg Hawes from Congresswoman Lois Capp's office, Charlie Hinch, Mickey Bruce of Caltrans, and then Steve Sylvester of North Coast Engineering. We don't want to forget Meredith Hardy from the California Conservation Corps and the group of young people who have dedicated their time and their efforts and their energies into this project, among many, many more here in Cambria. And then, of course, the staff, Ben Bohr, without his relentless energy, along with Carlos in doing the many things that coordinated all of the project, and Connie Davidson, who put not only this thing together but kept the grant administration going with our CCSD input. With that, I wanted to show a quick little PowerPoint of some photos that we have here on the overhead, just to share with the public, because it's a big deal. When you go out and see not only Cambria Drive widening, but you see the connection now with the Crosstown Trail that allows people to safely get across Highway 1, it's pretty interesting. Here's the group that probably is the key people, with Director Shaldicott in the back representing you all as a board. He kind of he's sneaking in back there. You see Pavo's in the front, and Greg Hawes is behind Pavo with the blue shirt on and the tie, and then Richard Macedo's over here on the left in the hat. Here's the group picture. Even though it's a little crooked, you know how hard it is to get a group of people without either blinking their eyes, opening their mouths, putting their hands up by their noses. Let's just say that between Connie and apparently Kathy Tanner, this was the best shot, okay? So Connie sent this one to me. This is the whole group, and we appreciate everyone's attendance that day. Here is across the street, and this is going to be maybe a well-kept secret, but maybe others will find it out. The California Conservation Corps donated not only materials, but the energy and the willpower of this very capable crew of workers to develop a little trail. And it just is so simple, but very nice. It allows you to observe Santa Rosa Creek, and it's just very peaceful back there. So this is a group shot. Here's the very simple trail that they've developed with the supplies that were provided by the Corps and pushed around. Here's them actually doing the physical labor. And this is the greatest shot of all. These are some very energetic young people who have worked in this community, not only on this project, but several others. And I know today there may be some pledge of support from the board. We hope that we see them continue. They're very important in our community. And I think that is all from the general manager anyway. We'll move on to Brian. Brian's report from utilities manager, and I'm going to let him go into some of the details with regard to the creek levels, because I think he has a presentation as well. Are you ready for that, Brian? You want me to move on while you get prepared for that one? Okay, moving on to district engineer, you're going to see today on the agenda a more detailed report on the desalination project, the rodeo grounds pump station. There's nothing new. He's working on the environmental clearance process, and your utilities ad hoc committee is working on their project list with regard to financing for this project. And that he did want to note that there was some considerable effort and time put into developing the administrative record for the water master plan. That tied up several of our staff members getting that together. Brian, you ready yet? Okay, let me take, you are, you ready to go? Do you need the pointer, by the way? Okay. So I'll turn it over to Brian for the update on the well levels.
Close right there. But during the weekend, we got a lot going out. At that time, we had about 4.25 inches at the wastewater plant gauge for the season. But up at Rocky Butte, they had about 12.5 for the season. So they get about 3-1. And that's typical. You know, if we get about 30 inches here, or, you know, it's about 90 up there to 100. And so that's, we get a lot of water that comes down here to fill our basins. But it doesn't take long if we get it. Water is still coming down by the first bridge right now, quite a bit up by Pedotes. And the bar is closed right now, and this, all the water that you see right there is gone. Santa Rosa well is dry. And next slide. And this lagoon, this is just saltwater overwash from heavy waves, and today this is dry. Next slide. This is Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa's still got a good bit of water in it. The water didn't flow down from up above like it did on San Simeon. It's got a longer reach, so it'll take a while. We get a few more rains, we'll be okay here as well. Next slide. You can see with the brown with the triangles, we gained about 10 feet over a couple days. So that'll last us a little while. If we were to get that kind of a rain, say in the end of April, somewhere like that, that would carry us till the next December or so. So that would carry us through a normal season. And so we're good now. So we can take a sigh of relief. Next slide. And this is just the years that we've been collecting it. And you can see we stretched out almost to the, well, third farthest year. So that's good. That's just good news. We're all happy for it. We can take a sigh of relief. And I think I'll just cut it short because that's just good news. And
thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Any questions?
Any questions of Brian? Apparently not. General Manager?
Yeah, I forgot one thing before I move on to the fire department's report, and that is under General Manager of Finance and Administration. As directed last month, we did issue all of the credits or the bills that went out with utility, water, and sewer, indicated all the credits per customer, and then the refunds that we had to issue to the customers who had either moved or changed their places of residency within the report on, too. Thanks, Carlos.
Chief Miller.
Mr. President, Board of Directors, as I reported to you at the last meeting, we did receive grant funding for this initial project of fuel reduction for part of a plan that we have for the next year to reduce fuels along some of the CCSD properties that are on sloping aspects underneath homes. This particular project that's noted here in the blue is slated to start on Tuesday of next week. And that project will last approximately 2 weeks, possibly 3 weeks to complete. The work is being done in cooperation with Cal Fire and their Cuesta crew, which is an inmate crew out of the men's colony. They have a lot of experience on clearing fire load on sloping aspects and stuff, so they're the best in the business for this. And the project is slated to continue with some other CCSD property on the other side of the highway, possibly later this year or next year. Any questions on any of that?
Chief, I understand that part of the consideration for receiving the grant is that we have to agree to maintain the property in perpetuity in a condition that they leave it in, basically.
That is correct. You know, along the responsibility for clearing parcels and stuff throughout the county, it's not cheap to get the stuff done, especially on the initial clearance. To maintain a property isn't as bad once it's initially done, but there's a lot of it out there. We last October had some concerns from citizens in here that were upset that the CCSD was not maintaining our properties, which is an issue, but to receive the grant funding in order to get the job done to begin with, we have to agree to maintain the property and to keep it to where it doesn't just revert right back to the way it was before the clearing. So we estimate that probably
perpetually.
I will say I had dinner the other night. Reggie Perkins was at the table, and he is delighted. So.
I alerted him that this was coming, and he was very happy.
So Chief Miller, Reggie Perkins will be very happy with you.
Yes. Well, that's good news.
Yes.
Brian, you had something to add?
Well, I've got something to add.
I have one thing to add to my report that I left off, and I'd be remiss if I didn't put it on there.
Sure. Brian, go ahead.
You all saw what the CCCs have done, and if you don't know yet, all their heads are on the chopping block with the governor's proposal to take them out and spread the money elsewhere. And I got a call from Lynn McNamara the other day, and she's helping out save the CCCs, and any letter writing that the public can do to help those guys out. There's a website called www.save-the-ccc.org, and it will tell you how to help them out. People like Greenspace are on it already and helping them out. So locals are getting into it, and I know I'm going to help them out. So anything you can do. These guys are wonderful people, and they've done a lot for the district for a long, long time. And all the trails, a lot of the brush clearing and stuff, and they're great people, and I'd like to help them out and like to see that
stream
continue.
Stream bed restorations,
lots of projects.
That's right. I think that Director Chaldicott intends to bring that up at some point during the meeting, so we may have some discussion among the board members about a letter of support for the triple C's to the governor and the legislature.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Brian.
Was that it, Brian? Or you have one more item, right, Mark?
Chief? Yeah, go ahead.
Did you want me to get into the evacuator?
Yeah, please.
I had a question posed to me. There's an article that came out in the LA Times that referenced a new concept that's called evacuate early or defend in place. And this is in reference to the wildland fire problem. If there's an approaching wildland fire, the concept that you can stay behind and defend your property has received some mixed reviews. Apparently in the article in the LA Times, it was 3 years ago, and it was discussed at length, and the San Luis Obispo County Council did not feel comfortable adopting this particular philosophy as a way of doing business in the county for several reasons, and in the community of Cambria especially. The premise is that you will have defensible space to be able to survive a wildland fire. You will have pre-planned the event in advance, and you will be prepared to stay behind and defend your home in the event of a wildland fire. The problems that we run into in this community are very small lot sizes. We have not been able at this point to get a handle on being able to provide defensible space for homes. The different lots that are there are small enough to where you can't get the required distance that is needed to get defensible space. The road system in Cambria is very sketchy at best for access in for fire, not only firefighting crews, but for people to evacuate. And probably the number one factor in this community is the demographic, the age of the community, and the building construction combination. In order to do a job to stay behind, it gets a little scary, a little sketchy, and you have to be physically prepared to deal with it. And I don't think that really fits into this community at this time. I do have a video presentation that was done from the Australian Fire Services that is available, that I can make available to anyone who would like to see it, if they would like to discuss it further. But at this time, I do not feel comfortable as a fire chief in the community of Cambria endorsing the evacuate early. Obviously, evacuate early is a good thing, but to stay and defend in place, I don't think is a prudent thing at this time in this community.
Thank you, Chief. I think your presentation on that subject is important so that people don't get the idea that somehow that's policy statewide, particularly here in Cambria. Any questions of Chief Miller? Any questions of the General Manager?
Just have one last thing, and that's the finance report. You'll hear more about the budget later, but as we mentioned earlier, there's been one disbursement. We made one note under other, and that was that we did get a contact by email on January 9th by the State Water Resources Control Board. They were inquisitive about the rescission of the water and wastewater rates, and they were confirming that we were still in a position to repay the loan that the district owes. Currently, we have a balance of $1.2 million plus accrued interest. So we did respond to that, and we didn't get any further receipt back from them. But just so you know, they're kind of keeping an eye on things here in Cambria. So that's all we have to report from staff.
Thank you. Director Clift.
I have two issues here on this that I would want to talk about. First of all, in the other, just for your information, when I attended a meeting over in Fresno on economic stimulus package, and I got there a little early because of the fog conditions going across the valley, and when I signed in that I was from Cambria, the attorney and the head of the state revolving fund immediately came to me and asked the same question, and they asked us if we were going to become like Los Osos, and I said I was insulted by that remark, and that there wasn't any particular problem, and we discussed it for a while, and they seemed happy. The second thing I want to bring up here is on the reserves, on the life balance reserves. I would like to see us, for accounting purposes at least, and for informational purposes to the public, divide this general fund and hopefully in the future wastewater and water funds into a kind of a restricted reserves, which reflects what the reserves were at the end of November, because that's kind of the end of the year, and then have the money that comes in tax revenues and other revenues listed as an operational reserves with the understanding that we're going to spend that, so that people don't believe that, gee, all of a sudden we're rich. We're not. That $800,000 is gone already, because the fire department doesn't get any more money. The administration doesn't get any more money. We're going to have to – it's kind of like – if you're a farmer, you understand getting paid once a year, because that's the way a farmer budgets his life. In our case, in the general fund, we get paid twice a year, it looks like, for the majority of our funds. Mm-hmm. And we should specifically show that those are reserves that are going to be spent, so that we don't think in terms that they're big money. The other advantage of that, I think, is at the end of the year, in the operations, it also lets us know that we have this kind of basic reserves. Now, we'll talk later in the budget about the shortfall this year, but if we did that, then we would really have a constant indication of not just how much money we have, but how much money we're not going to have that we can't count on today to make certain kinds of decisions. And the Finance Committee can work on that with the staff if that's the board's. If the board agrees that that kind of thing is good.
Sounds like a capital idea to me.
One input, since yesterday it was brought up at the Finance Ad Hoc Committee, we may have to look at a different month besides November, understanding that's not the end of our fiscal year. Okay,
no.
So
right.
I do appreciate being able to work it out, because it just got sprung on us yesterday, and we kind of want to sit down. Alan was running some quick numbers this morning, knowing that it would be reported out today, so we can work that out.
It obviously doesn't matter except what day we do, but we show that we're working through a whole year and working it out some way. And so
I like the idea of having the segregated account, if for no other reason than to, as you say, have reserves that are there for the purpose that reserves are banked for, you're right, we do tend to get a kind of a false perception of the fiscal health of the district when we look at the LAIF account and it's at its zenith, when in fact most of those monies are already
gone.
They're committed for items that are in the budget. Other board members have anything to say on this? Director D'Amico.
Yeah, I think it, I, Muriel points out, Director Cliff points out, that there'll be more discussion about budgeting. But the idea is that seeing $800,000 and for what different funds that come in, not having an understanding, it's much like Brian's charts. If you look at the water levels, when the water levels go down, that means people are using money and generating a billing ability to have that money come in later months. So the money's already spent. What it also shows, though, is that when the money, when that number is going down, our expenses are becoming higher. We're not getting any much of your expression of how the farmer works. And there's many businesses, professional services business, people who work in a lot of industries that realize what's in the bank today may not be available or not enough for me because I may not see another paycheck for a long time. Now, we see paychecks every other month, but they do vary a lot, and our expenses vary in large amounts, just like prepaying insurances and payroll taxes come in and the like. So this is very well taken, and I think we need to get to it, and I'm sure the details of it, but there should be something which shows when we're in our worst condition financially within a year, we'll always know we have at least so much money, and that can be discussed, how big it is and how much it should be. And Muriel again points out that if there's numbers, the second line or however it's allocated and shown, that money is real, usable funds for some reasons that we may need it in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Director D'Amico. Any other comments? Director Shaldagon?
Yes, I was just wondering if we do this, whether we'd have to go to the point of saying that, for example, this fund could only be rated with board action or something like that. Is that sort of the thought?
Well, let me suggest, first of all, I kind of hear a consensus emerging that this is a very good idea. Let me suggest that the Finance Committee work on this and come up with
some
parameters, so forth. Sure. Does that sound reasonable? Good. So it shall be done.
We can come back with a report working with accounting and come up with an idea.
Excellent. Anything else from the general manager? Okay. Under member and committee reports, Director Chaldicott, perhaps this would be the best time to bring up the California Conservation Corps issue.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, this really is a repeat of what Brian had to say about this. Is this great group who've done so much to improve life in Cambria for most of us, all of us, that it's a time when the budget crunch in Sacramento looks like they're going to take out the CCC. And what I want to do is give you a website at home so that you can go on that website and register your support of the CCC. And if you repeat what happens in Cambria around the state, they've been a real benefit to us. And what I like is the fact that there are young men and young women who are learning a job.
Worthwhile projects here in Cambria and throughout the state. But it's really good for the kids who are involved in the program, and it's kind of a throwback to the Depression era Civilian Conservation Corps concept, and I know my grandfather participated in that and really learned a lot and got a lot of life skills out of that experience, and I'm sure that the kids who are participating in the California Conservation Corps are having similar experiences. Director McKinnon, I thought you were getting my attention. My suggestion is, board members, that we direct the staff to draft a letter to the governor and to the legislature urging that the California Conservation Corps be spared the budget acts, pointing out all of the good cost-benefit that this organization brings to our community and to other communities in California. Absolutely. I think we have a consensus on that. So,
you
General Manager,
for your signature as Board President,
please.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Under member and committee reports, we do have an agenda item coming up, number 7A, which will be a consideration of a budget for the remainder of this fiscal year, so I'm sure the Finance Committee will have a lot to say about that when we get to that point in the agenda. I don't believe there are any other member and committee reports, board members? And Utility Committee, have anything to say? Director D'Amico?
Peter and I, Peter Chalcott, Director Caldicott and I, myself, met on the 22nd of January, went over the capital projects and the major, what I call major maintenance projects that were in the presentation of Brian Bodie, I think, in the December meeting. We had a good, productive meeting. Then also met, well, we had met before that and then met with the staff, Tammy, Manager Rudock and Engineer Greshens were there. Brian Bodie was also there. We've developed a spreadsheet to get ourselves a better understanding of where each of the projects are, how much of each of the projects that were on that list have either been started or are underway, and what phase they are. They very quickly turned around the information on that, so for operations, so we've got to consider that. Having said that, we also, Peter, Mr. Caldicott, and myself, we came up with a what we believe is a fairly good rating system based on a bunch of seven or eight items of consideration so that we could kind of rate a project. Cost-benefit to the operations, safety, cost and benefit to the community, improving operations and service. So we've also done that, and I would ask that maybe on the and we need to present this information to the Finance Committee as they work through their numbers, and we can possibly make sure that we're not overreaching and that they're not underestimating, if you will, how much money we truly will need on this new budget that'll come up later the next few months, and also for the next rate proposal. So we're active, and we've had some good meetings and good input from staff and response. And we will probably take lead or work with the committee, the Finance Committee, to try to mesh these two things together.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Just a point. Frank, criteria. Is this coming from the staff or from your committee as to what the criteria may be? I mean, we're talking about mandates from the state, safety. What is the order of rank, so to speak, that you've used?
Well, that's one of the issues that need a little more time to gestate. When we put together the spreadsheet, it was more, at this point, an accounting issue to get the right numbers. Okay. At the same time now, Peter and I would have to set up another meeting with Brian Bodie and Manager Rudock to go over our system. We need their input. Brian has obviously a more in-depth or a feel from the operations staff what is required both, and we did have some discussions already, what's required by regulation, what's required.
Okay.
And then there's actually a category we put on is environmental sensitivity. I mean, some projects that are not mandated and not needed maybe for operations, but as a community that's sensitive to the environment, we may want to do. But we expect to show that we will be showing this to the public, because these are the hard decisions that people need to make. There's a big difference between needs and wants. Needs, I always say, really start in the utility industry, start when the federal government or the state government says, made that decision. Or I'm going to go to the meeting because if I'm going to choose between, and the good one in this community is, if I'm going to choose between a fire pump or a storage tank and some other element that isn't an issue of safety and service, then I want to make my voice known. And that's what I hope the community will do.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
Did you want to add anything, Director Chaldicott?
No, I think Frank's covered it pretty well, thank you. Yeah.
Very good.
And the conditions we went through, we thought were pretty, was it seven or eight we came up with, which pretty well dealt with every angle as far as the public concern, but not necessarily how it would work out as far as staffing is concerned.
Yeah. Terrific. Thank you. There are no other committee reports, so we will move to the consent agenda. And for purposes of logistics, making it easier on Director D'Amico, we'll take the first two items that were pulled first. I believe you have to remove yourself from the room, as a matter of fact. For those of you who weren't here, Director D'Amico, out of an abundance of caution, is going to recuse himself, and the rules require that he remove himself from the room while these items are being discussed. Item 6A is consideration of the expenditure report for the month of December 2008. Is there a motion to approve the expenditure report?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item 6A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 6D is consideration of a resolution 02-2009 approving merger agreement of Boyle Engineering Corporation with AECOM USA Incorporated. This has no fiscal impact on the district. It's just a formality. Is there a motion to approve resolution 02-2009?
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item 6D. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Will somebody let Director D'Amico know he can return now? We'll give him a minute to come back in. While Director D'Amico is returning, the General Manager.
Approving joint use agreement between the CCSD and County of San Luis Obispo for connector trail development near Moonstone Beach Drive and Windsor Boulevard.
Is there a motion to approve the balance of the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the balance of the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Just before that, Chairman,
yes,
I just have one point of information.
Sure.
I read that piece, and it says extremely narrow with a downslope, and I'm concerned from a liability standpoint. I know the county wants to give us $20,000, and that's wonderful, but are we okay from the standpoint of a liability, particularly with those words that concern me?
This is on item 6F.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, I know that Ben and Brian Council have worked on that contract, but and I know, I don't know if Art's been involved in it, but, we have similar property all over the ranch. So unless something was specifically brought up during your negotiations, Brian, I defer to you.
Well, the trail is in the county right of way, and the design we got from CCC's has a railing on it to make it a safe place, and we pointed that out to the county. This is really a safety issue with the county and their right-of-way, so that's why we were hoping that they would help fund part of that, and we took the ball and tried to help them put that trail in there. So
the project is actually a safety upgrade,
right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you saw the most important thing that we did, too, is that it is a safety issue, and especially with the traffic with the El Calibre there and tying those two trails together, we're going to have two trail systems merge in that one place, and they're going to be using the county right-of-way to do that. And the way it's set up now, they have to step into the street to do that.
Yeah.
And so we tried to get the county to help us with that. And the only place we can put the trail is in their right-of-way. So that's what this is trying to do. And so we're just accepting to put the trail into our trail system, which is the Crosstown Trail, and maintain it just like we are that. And that's what this agreement does.
Let me suggest, Director McKinnon and other board members, that before this project is built, we have our district council take a look at it and make sure that we're covered properly.
Good.
We will do that. If General Manager, if you would make a note of that, and make sure that the 2008-2009 operating budget. General Manager, staff report.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to say a piece just beforehand.
Sure. Please, Director McKinnon.
Before the General Manager does, in fact, review the 08-09 budget, I want first to recognize the fact that the CFR and the community has been very tenacious and persistent in exercising their rights under 218. And I think also what they've done
And most importantly, they've made our community, I think, more informed of the issues that we're facing. President Sanders stated the reason and the most important reason for rescinding the rates that was done in our last January 8th board meeting. But most importantly, I think we should realize that this board has respected the will of the people. And in doing so, I think we're establishing a foundation that I think is that we'll build on. That is trust between this new board and staff and the community. And I think we need that more than anything to go forward. We have a perfect budget storm going. We've had a collapsing economy, as we all know, and no one really knows what tomorrow holds for sure. If they do, I'd like to know. We do have reduced revenues that resulted from, unfortunately, the rescinding of rates, and there's nothing we could do about that, but property taxes and then the service fees themselves. We have infrastructure repairs that are much needed, and in the budget that the general manager is going to present to you, there's no funding for those most important activities. The major CIPs that are going to be brought to you at a later point, and they are also outstanding. I would say that the budget that is going to be presented is a slow the bleeding first step budget. And it was very difficult, and both the committee and staff, I think, worked very hard in getting to where we are. Transparent with the community, and hopefully they respond accordingly. And with that, I would say thank you, and go at them, Tammy.
Very well said, Director McKinnon. Thank you. A good segue into the general manager's presentation.
Okay, thank you. You've got the printed material, and what I had to do this morning, because the staff member who used to put some of these PowerPoint presentations together no longer exists, so you're dealing with something that I put together. But this is basically this recap of changes. The Finance Ad Hoc Committee, when we met on the different budgets and we talked about itemizing how the changes came about through this mid-year revision, we developed this together, two-page recap of changes, and what I've done is just take it by section, so hopefully it is more understandable and easier to digest, because that was a recommendation by the Finance Ad Hoc Committee yesterday afternoon. And it is true that we're really working with all these committees, because I think we've met two or three times since the last meeting just alone with the Finance Ad Hoc Committee. So what you see up on the overhead now is the what happened with the rate rescission, just in case anybody's interested and they know, you know, as a result of rescinding those rates, where in the water fund you'll see that $106,000 revenue reduction, and you'll see in the wastewater fund, although that says water, sorry, that's a typo, but the wastewater fund rate rescission, $157,000 reduction. So it's understood that there are some in this recap reductions in revenues, because we're not anticipating getting them. This is one that is a known. We're not going to get these, so they're out of there. So if anybody's looking at this revised budget, they're going to not see that line item that used to say 12%, okay? So these numbers have been redacted or taken away, and that's the first section as a recap of changes. So hopefully that is the first and most important as a result of the rescission. The next section starts dealing with the operations budget changes, and the first department is the Water Enterprise Fund. And we've got the line items, and what staff tried to do based on meeting with the ad hoc committee, Finance Ad Hoc Committee, so that it was clear for those who might be reviewing this, even though it's still difficult, and I'll show you where some of these this total number ties in. You can see that we're not anticipating in that very first line the water sales revenue decrease when you go over to $160,000. We're not seeing that how we estimated originally our water revenues are going to come in. Precinct cost or a decrease, we listed that in professional service, personnel costs, overhead allocated. You can see maintenance and repair expenditure decreases. We did this in every department, and the total for the decrease in the water fund was $297,000. So I'm going to estimate around for the purpose of the discussion. That's for the water fund. Remember that each one of these funds is discussed separately because the enterprise funds, water revenues go to water operations, wastewater revenues go to wastewater operations. The discretion that this board and community has is with the general funds, obviously, to take care of the governmental fund accounts. So here's wastewater funds. Again, we're going to anticipate similarly a decrease in revenues of $108,000. And then we looked at the expenditures, and we see a net decrease we're anticipating for $133,000 or roughly $134,000. Alan, if I say something out of line, you certainly jump in, okay? You've been my partner in crime along with the Finance Ad Hoc Committee, so certainly I know those guys are over there eagle-eyeing it if I say something wrong or definitely don't catch something. For resource conservation, you'll see that we have at the top these little asterisks that, you know, this is contained within the general fund and it's made up of governmental funds. We for the first time in resource conservation, had to include some property tax revenues. Interestingly, this funds water conservation. This funds one position within our organization. And because it typically is funded by remodel fees or retrofit and lieu fees, and this is the one area where we see the economy impacting us besides some lesser impact on property tax revenues, we had to generate or include some property tax revenues here to finish us out through the end of this year because we don't see those remodel fees or retrofit and lieu fees coming in as we anticipated. You're going to see in here that we have this land conservancy contract through the build-out reduction program. We don't anticipate when that gets underway that it's going to be a complete year and that those funds get carried over, hopefully planned for next year, so that we can get the land conservancy as previously approved to be working on the identification of the vacant lots here in the community. The total for resource conservation is roughly $69,000 decrease. General fund, starting with the fire department, you'll see the property tax revenue decrease because we're not anticipating. What we did in the beginning is the county, and I think I go back to the budget presentation, that they suggested a 4.3% potential increase. Note that there won't be any revenues coming in because of those. So you'll see some of these are offsets when you see a number over to the right with or without the parentheses. Total for the fire department decrease. $250,000. General fund admin, here's a revenue increase. I'm going to have to let Alan remind me what admin services revenue increase. I think I ask you every single time when I do this presentation. Turn on your microphone, Sue. I don't have to repeat you. Thank you, please. Thank you.
That's the allocated overhead revenue.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a direct offset.
Okay, for charging the different departments. This department also recognizes that there may be a potential decrease in property taxes. You go down to admin and you're going to see, is that an increase of $68,000? I'm sorry, I think it's $68,000. I don't have the sheet right in front of me. Facilities and resources, revenue increase of $343,000, again for overhead expenditures. Their increase in their department is $311,000. Alan, what was the major increase in this department for facilities and resources? Was it just the revenue increase that we anticipated from property tax, well, that we had to infuse some more money in?
Right.
This department?
The largest, the net of the decrease in property taxes is approximately $40,000.
Okay.
But it's the big numbers are caused by the zero-based budgeting.
Okay. That's a very good point. I should have brought that up very first after Director McKinnon made his comment. Based on previous comments, and you will see in these each department pages, each department is zero budgeted out, which means their expenditures match their revenues, but what's left over rolls over into admin to show what the balance is for these governmental funds or their general fund accounts. Thanks for reminding me of that, Alan. For Parks and Rec, it's tiny, but here's their proposed decrease in receipts for property taxes, and their decrease is $150,000. And then finally, this number, this total number for results of operations is $383,000. What I want to show next is that PDF, Carlos, with the mid-cap. I want to show where that $382,000 is so that people can tie these recap changes to the actual budget mid-year revisions. And then I want to talk more specifically about individual cuts. You can just put it up. I'll show the number because everyone has the printed copy. Where you'll see that $382,296 is on the very, it's the third page of this. You know, you've got the recaps, page 1 and 2, and on the first page where it's all funds slash departments, that middle column that says mid-year budget revision, you'll see that $382,296 matching. That was good. I was just going to circle or point to it, Carlos. Just wanted to, if somebody's out there trying to add and say, how do you get these numbers? Where did they go to? Where are they reflected? Thank you. Let me show you where they are. So this was the recap page. Okay. It's going to be tiny, but I'm going to point it. See right here? Mid-year budget revision at the bottom. There's the number. So everything that we just recapped, you can see that it's tied back to that column, or that column helped us develop these recaps. There was one correction since we published the agenda last week, and that would be on your recap page that you may have in your agenda packets. You'll notice under the water fund you may have had, and maybe somebody from the public got an earlier version, operation personnel cost increase where it says CIP decrease of 274. That should be 281. Maybe you have updated copies. I don't know, but I want to make sure that the public knows that in case they have an older version. And under the wastewater fund, operations personnel cost increase, CIP decrease of 112. That should be $136,000. And that's what I've presented here today. As a result of these, and somebody would be asking what were specific cuts, Alan was kind enough to just prepare an overall, where the overall cuts were made. If you were just looking at different items and you weren't looking at things that were offset, like we talked about the fire hazard fuel reduction. And some of the bigger categories, of course, are the training and travel. There was almost a total, and this is agency-wide, so this isn't any fund specifically. There was approximately $62,000 cut. From the fire department, there was $6,000 cut from preparedness. Rebate and retrofit programs, $3,000. The lot merger program, because we're just gauging based on how much we might be spending, there was $7,000 cut. We did cut that $32,000 out of the land conservancy for the contract for this year because it's only a partial year. There were cuts made to the sludge processing and disposal of $25,000. Office supplies and equipment, $31,000. And then insurance and bad debt, we had approximately a couple of thousand, and then the same, the improvements of our systems and allowing us to maintain those as they're well licensed in both water and sewer. And same with the fire department with regard to the things that they need in order to continue to do their jobs. And that's it, unless Alan, did you have something you wanted to add? Each department page, I discussed this with the Finance Ad Hoc Committee, is supported. All the documentation is behind this recap. They wanted to make it as simple as possible, and I agreed with them. Unless there's something further you want me to discuss, the supporting documentation is behind this recap.
Thank you. Before we open the public hearing, are there any questions of the General Manager? Any comments from the Finance Committee? Director D'Amico.
I'd like to address in a generalization, but then get into a couple of specifics just so that the community doesn't leave. As far as we talk about this budget revision, it's a memorialization of the rescission of the rates. While there has been work, and it's appreciated that work has been done to try to find places to hold the line, if you will, on expenditures. But this budget that you're seeing today is a placeholder. It's going to be good for how many months was that?
Till June 30th.
The real work has to start now with the Finance Committee. Hopefully the Utilities Committee will have good input. But the key element is the staff, the General Manager, her staff. But the reality is that we're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars that have been lost overspent, if you will, over the last 5 or 6 years. A lot of good work been done, but we still have not gotten to project maintenance. So What you see here is, again, another backup for the reason why in the next couple of months we should have a new rate proposal. And it's my feeling, and the other board can address their issues, that this rate proposal will be to close the gap on these losses, to include some monies for maintenance of our existing facilities. That in itself is going to be a number which the community will see, will hear. I don't want to try to put a number on it, but I don't think it's not going to be less than the 12%. I think it's going to be more than the 12%, because we have lost almost a year and a half, 2 years of revenues that we could have gotten based on the first rate or the second rate increase. But the reality is that the numbers you're looking at will always be a change in the organization. That's a long study. That's a long bit of adjustment that needs to be made. But when you realize that you're in the neighborhood $300,000-$400,000 a year and a payrolls of $4 million, the numbers can, I'm a rule of thumb, you can get pretty good getting to the bullseye. You're looking at a 10%, and this was brought up prior. So that we've got to look at the organization, we've got to look at where the money is being spent. When you look at a operating sewer plant and water plant, you need people in the field. But the question becomes is how many people do we need to keep the people in the field? And that is this constant review that's being made or being referenced in many of the discussions and will be surely over the next couple of months, the allocated overhead. Allocated overhead, we know we need to run these organizations. You do need to have the support staff, that people payrolls need to be made, bills have to be paid, suits have to be defended against. But the numbers here range from 47% in some departments, 35% in other departments. If not, when you go down to individual funds like the water and sewer fund, the number gets very high. Very high. Too unacceptable for general business practices and surely for here. I think everyone will see that, and you don't need to just look at Cambria. I'm not pointing out Cambria at this stage when the governor just got his approval from the court. He can mandate furloughs. He's mandating 2 days a month, I think it is at this point. All state workers will be out. That's in addition to the 150,000 layoffs that are occurring. Now, you may not like, and we don't like, laying off CCC workers when you have in Sacramento buildings filled with people, but that's another issue. So we will look at it, and the tough time is coming in the next 3 months to get ready for what I'll call is at least a balanced budget and a balanced going forward in 2009-10. So that's my comments.
Thank you, Director D'Amico. Good. Director Clift?
Yes. What I want to indicate to the people is that this budget revision is an attempt to create an operations budget that accurately reflects where the money actually is being spent. What we have also learned that we're maybe down $160,000 in revenues because either the motels aren't giving enough showers or the tourists aren't coming and taking enough showers or whatever you want to use as a reduction in the actual water sales. But that kicks the number up into the 560,000-570,000 range if the Finance Committee and the staff had not looked at places where we could cut. And in reality is, right now, the places we could cut were in the non-contractual areas. And so we made some decisions which we hope will be okay. They may not be okay because when you cut out all maintenance, you're gambling. And when we start now to talk about the 2009-2010, we're down about 380,000, which is probably going to have to come out of that restricted reserve of 3.5 million that I talked about. And so to keep that reserve above $3 million is still, I think, it should be our goal. But we're going to have to cover that $380,000. We're going to have to cover the needs for maintenance in both the water and the wastewater. And those numbers, you know, start to get up there. And what we really need as we go forward here is your input. There's two kinds of input I, as in the Finance Committee, would like to have. One is the kind of the general input of what you believe the priorities should be. And then as we get to the numbers, we can argue on the actual numbers. But maybe we can have a workshop or two that works something like that out, where we sit down and we talk about priorities and generalities of positions and expectations. And then we get to put that into some numbers with everything, and then we can argue about the individual numbers. But hopefully this budget is now an honest budget of saying where we're at. It does not include any capital improvement projects. Remember that. We're trying to get to a situation where we're talking about the operational budget of water, wastewater, operating to keep this thing running at the right level, and what is a project that we may be using project money for operation or operation money for projects, so that you know that where the differences are. And that's going to be, I think that's the emphasis of the Finance Committee, and we will try to do some accounting things so that you can see that at all times. But your input's going to be important. What the rate things are going to come out, I'm not sure, but hopefully everybody will have input into it. Everybody will have the chance to argue the actual numbers, and then we can come to some kind of conclusion there. But this is not a budget that solves any problems. It's a budget that sets a foundation to build a new budget on. So don't just look at this budget to say, how am I going to figure out what rate is going to be? Because we really have to look at a bunch of other things in terms of the 2009-2010 budget to really get to a situation as to what is the real operating cost in a real environment of providing reasonable maintenance and be coming in at a profit, where we don't end up at the end of the year always dipping into savings. Anyhow, that's where the Finance Committee is, and we feel free to email any of us, or I won't say call, because that's other people's. Yeah. I don't want you calling all the other board members and telling them I said call them. call the governor about the CCCs, though. Right. And that's really where we stand, and we hopefully that you will give us all the input that you can on these things.
Thank you, Director Cliff. Director McKinnon.
Just to reiterate, I think it is significant that we have taken from perhaps as much as 590 down to 380. It's significant slowing the bleeding of reserves, and that was our primary goal. And as both directors have stated, we look at efficiencies, and certainly our work is cut out for us for the 2009-2010 budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Director McKinnon. Any other comments before we open the public hearing? The hearing is now open. I have two requests to speak. First, we'll hear from Jerry McKinnon.
I did catch the mistakes, at least in the printout that I got of the report, the mid-year revision. So thank you for correcting that. And I have a question on the budget, with the decreases that you've made. I'm aware that there is a staff position, the assistant finance manager. Has that salary, if that's not going to be filled, and I'm assuming it isn't, has that salary been incorporated, addressed into this new revisionary budget? That was a question I had.
Director Clift, I think you...
Yes, it has. That has been taken into the 6-month period of that
Actually, it's not quite 6 months. It's about 4 months because everybody has some benefits and, you know, on time that you get paid for vacation time, I guess, and other things. But that the savings during this year has been taken into account. Right now, the position is listed as vacant. And we'll have to deal with it relative to the 2009-2010.
Okay. And I have a question. You mentioned $160,000, Director Clift, as a reduction, and Director McKinnon mentioned $590,000 to $380,000, which is $210,000. So there's a $50,000 difference there. Yep. I don't understand. You had different numbers.
The $160,000 I was talking about is a reduction in water sales of money, revenue we would get in. I think Director McKinnon was talking about the difference between the 430 that I talked about last year plus the loss in sales, which brings it up to that 590. And from that 590, the cuts we've made have brought it down to the 380.
Okay.
Well said.
Okay.
210,000 in cuts. Yeah.
210,000 in cuts. So I just want to say thank you for addressing this mid-year revision with those cuts. And related to what Director D'Amico referred to about rate increases, I would like to ask the board if CFR and especially Mary Webb and I, who've worked diligently on this 218, if what we are working on and come up with, if we could have a meeting with some of the directors, a couple of the directors, to go over what we have come up with as 218 guidelines, and I'm sure you've been working on it too, if we could address this together so that we can avoid in the future what we've experienced in the past.
Yeah. We'll be.
Thank you very much, President Sanders. I have just a couple of quick comments on the 6 month budget. One bemuses me, perhaps, and that's on page 62. The linking of the education dollars with the trolley. I'm always educated depending upon who's driving the trolley, but I'm really curious how that budget line got created there. And so in the 09-10, I assume that we're going to get more specific lining of the budget in many, many ways, and I hope that we can also see in that expenses, for example, by project. I brought this up a lot before, but knowing whose salary goes to what percentage of each project would be interesting to have as well. So the more detail of expenditures according to the project would be very, very helpful to me as a citizen to understand what exactly my dollars are being spent on. Excuse me, I've got a cough. I want to ask that in the 2009-2010 budget that you would give us some figures showing revenue from water without surcharges year by off year. It's impossible now for me to know whether there is really a decline in tourism here, a decline in a housing occupancy here, or simply a slightly skewing of the whole thing by adding revenue from surcharges. So if we could have a comparison of actual simply water expenditures apart from surcharges, that would really, water revenue, that would really be very helpful. And I will have another comment a bit later on the desal issue on the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear from Amanda Rice.
Thank you, President Sanders. In looking over the revised budget, I noticed that the allocated overhead in the Resource Conservation Fund increased. It went up $27,000 about, and you earlier said there was one person in that dealt with the resource conservation and that revenue was down from the in-lieu and the retrofit fees. The total amount in the resolution
is, or first I also wanted to thank that these board packages have been coming out in a timely manner so that we can look at things and have intelligent questions to ask. I really appreciate that. In these budget sheets, there's no line item for standby fees. Another thing that I've always contended to further something I think Merle was talking about earlier is I believe those standby fees possibly should be put in the water department and the wastewater department in their revenues with their own line. Now realize, I know that's not revenue they can use for anything, but in that given year, they can subtract what might go for a capital outlay project or a CIP, and then again, whatever's left over that you didn't use would be taken out as far as the balance of that fund. But give clarity then to specifically where that money is supposed to go. And but to end with is just, if somebody can clarify for me, the question is where in all these sheets is the standby fees? Is it under property tax? I don't see it anywhere. So it should get its own item, line item somewhere.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good suggestion. We'll now go back to the question that Amanda Rice posed, and I think our finance director has a response.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it over to Alan. I did want to just answer out of turn John McKinnon's questions. This is an operations budget. Standby fees are capital.
Right.
So you're not going to see standby fee revenues in here.
Okay, no, so but when we do develop a capital improvement budget, they will be shown. Or we could show them as a separate.
Right, it was shown separately, and it would be again. Always has been.
Exactly. Okay. Go ahead.
In the case of mentioning the salaries versus allocated overhead, the person who works in resource conservation is shown as salaries and, of course, their benefits as such. The allocated overhead is the administration side of it, you know, paying their bills, receiving in their money, everything else that's done for the various departments. So you're talking two completely sets of people and expenditures in those two things.
Thank you. I have no more requests to speak. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to address the board on this issue? Seeing no one, the public hearing is closed.
I did want to mention one thing.
Yes, General Manager.
I apologize, but
a capital improvements budget, then certain salaries, benefits, and other costs have to be accounted for in some fashion. And without a capital improvements budget, all we have are the operating fund budgets for the water system and the wastewater system and the general fund. So the district engineer, for example, Mr. Gresson's salary, is, as a general rule, almost entirely found in a capital improvements budget. We don't have a capital improvements budget for the balance of the year, as has been explained, so his salary then has to be accounted for in some other fashion. So it's going to have an impact on the water fund, the wastewater fund, the general fund, et cetera. So as Director D'Amico very eloquently explained, as well as Director McKinnon and Director Clift, when we get to the point where a rate increase is proposed and the budget for the coming fiscal year is considered, then you'll get a really good, accurate picture of how we propose to go forward. Community input will be received. We'll have a lot of dialogue in terms of what the priorities for the district are, particularly in the area of capital improvements. And I think you'll find that the stress on the operating funds will be relieved to a great degree, because we'll get back to the point where we'll have some capital projects budgets, and those salaries will be allocated to the capital projects budgets instead of to the two operating funds and the general fund. Board members, any discussion? Are we ready for a motion?
I move that we adopt Resolution 3-2009, approving the mid-year revision to the fiscal year 2008-2009 operating budget.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item 7A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Board members, it's 2 o'clock. Would you like to take about a 10-minute break? Great. We'll recess for 10 minutes. All set? Thank you. Meeting will come back to order. We'll now proceed to regular business. The first item under regular business is consideration of water conservation alternatives, and we'll have a very short report from the general manager.
Okay, thank you. This was based on a request from directors, and it was to consider water conservation alternatives. Mainly because of the report last month, not knowing that we might have enough rain to recharge our creek system. So what we did is met with the executive committee, and the executive committee developed, you know, just some at least talk topics, I would call, or discussion topics as to how, why, what, when, where, when we get into a situation with regard to water conservation. So not in any particular order. I listed the six that came up, and that was to implement or have the potential for implementation of the existing water conservation surcharge rates program and or amend those provisions and or develop a new program. Number two was to impose stage 1, 2, or 3 of the CCSD Municipal Code Chapter 4.12, which is the Emergency Water Conservation Program, and or amend or delete. And I would probably put that in all.
To kind of help guide the board's discussion of this issue.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, it was great news, Brian. The well level's moving up. It helps considerably. I guess what I wanted to bring to attention and to compliment was the fact that if you look at the 2008 water production, the 707.61 acre feet used in 2008 is the least amount used in the last 8 years. And so I think that's a tribute to our people being aware, and hopefully will continue to be aware of the need for conservation. I took the, on Friday, January 23rd of the local section of the Tribune, there's a column in here by Phil Dirks, who writes a thing called Over the Hill. It's all about how wonderful Paso Robles is. Takes a whole column every week to tell you that. I'll get letters for that, I'm sure. But down along the way, he's talking about water usage and the fact that they're going to have to deal with Nacimiento water and get more water for Paso Robles. But it lists here typical water usage bill averages, and it gives a 43 and some odd dollars per month. But the typical water customer is a household using an average of 19 units a month. Their units are the exact same size as ours, 748 gallons. And they consider it okay to use 19 units a month, or 38 units per billing period, where we use 6 to 9 is probably, 6 to 10 is probably an average. So I think in looking at things, so when I started to look at things about surcharges, my first thought was we should not penalize people who are doing such a good job. But how do we keep the really bad character some way to do it? So I went and I looked at the Stage 1, Stage 2, and Stage 3 of the CCSD Municipal Code. And what I found out in a Stage 2 situation, now, for the last 3 months, or the last three pay periods, my wife and I, we use 6 units. So what I guess what I'm saying is that even though I want to encourage and support everybody who's done such a great job, I think this is a primary opportunity to look at those municipal code sections, to look at this rate program and look at the surcharge program all the way around, and get some kind of input and committee or something going to have us look at all this stuff so it becomes consistent. I don't think we will need any surcharges, and I wouldn't favor any at this time based on what's being done. But I do think it's a primary time for us to revamp this thing, because, you know, we could surely have another situation where we're going to run out for a long time, and we need to be consistent. We need to have fairness to people. But at the same time, I can't see a situation where you're going to say you're going to penalize me and I can use double and I get penalized. So that's my thoughts on it.
Very good comments, I believe. I think that it's stating the obvious that, number one, the water surcharge program is punitive and it's inequitable. It's almost a Gordian knot. We don't seem to have the capability of putting equity into the system, because when you start considering family size and other exigent circumstances, you would need a very large staff to go out and try and audit things and make sure that people aren't trying to take advantage of the system and so forth. But with all of the considerable brain power in this community, it seems to me that we ought to be able to come to grips with an issue like that. And if we are going to have a surcharge program, and I'm not convinced that we need one, but if we are going to have one, it ought to be one that has a whole lot more equity than the system that we have now. Secondly, it's patently obvious that we are simply not prepared for what could be a perfect storm situation in which we find ourselves without enough water to meet the needs of the community. History has a way of repeating itself, and a couple of decades ago, and then the expense of trucking it in would be something that I'm sure we would not be able to deal with financially. And even for a small community like this, the number of trucks coming in would stretch from here to San Luis Obispo, probably solid with water trucks running 24 hours a day. So that's simply not a viable alternative. And I would urge the board today to consider that we just have to have some sort of plan in place to meet what I think is an inevitable eventuality until we have an alternate water supply here in Cambria, and that is that we will face the day when we don't have enough water to meet the needs of the community. As conservation-minded as we are, if it doesn't rain, we won't have enough water. Comments from other board members?
I think the
Director Chaldicott.
I think the comments made so far, I agree with 100%. I think the real problem, as you say, the audit, where if we develop a system where it varies based on family size, because of the tremendous burden it puts on people to size up each family and decide what their allocation is. That's I think the whole crux of the matter. Because I agree with Director Clift on usage. You know, 6 is a typical usage for a family of 2, but it's not typical for a family of 4. and some people have guests that insist on staying and things like that. And all those variables you have to deal with. And if someone can come up with a simple answer for dealing with that, we have an answer to it, but it is staff intensive, that's the thing. But I do think, as Merle said, that you look at stage two, really they're not getting a grip of the problem at that point. It's still fairly lackadaisical. That's and right. I think, you know, we did reach a point, I think, in early 90s when the it was 50 gallons per person per day. And I believe your water was cut off if you went over that. We that's never right. got to that, fortunately, but that's kind of draconian.
That's right. I mean, we live on a knife's edge here, and it seems like every year about this time we face the prospect of not having enough rainfall to fill the wells and meet the needs of the community. Everybody in Cambria is a stakeholder in this issue. Well levels drop to a level that causes alarm in terms of wrenching more conservation out of the system. And number two, development of a plan to be put in place if we get to the point where we simply can't draw any more water out of the wells for reasons of saltwater intrusion or whatever. And I would like to recommend that we perhaps at our next meeting in February have an item on the agenda whereby we can appoint a citizens committee to take a look at these issues and wrestle with them and report back to us with some recommendations.
They're going to have to be awfully smart.
There are some very smart people in this community.
One point, and we were talking at break with Brian, we still have to pay for the enterprise funds. And the more we conserve, the more the gap grows between revenues to operate versus
right.
funds we collect. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Yes, it is.
That is why you have to look at poor case or worst case scenario having to do with your billings. Mm-hmm. Because a drought year where you're pumping less is less revenues, which goes back to the issue of what is the rational size for a reserve. Mm-hmm. Because a reserve is not only, well, I believe the key point usually is all of a sudden two of the wells burn out or a lightning strike hits something and you got to lay out $100,000 in about a week and a half or something. But the fact is that there will be elements when you have a 91 time period, you probably could burn through $500,000 in lost revenues because you're telling everybody don't use it. And being a very, very active and responsive community, they'll do it, and then now what do you do? So
that's right.
It always ties back to how you manage your enterprise, also manage your finances. And the more you plan for the worst case condition, the more you're going to need some better reserves or at least allocation on how do we manage that time. So I agree 100%. So just to clarify, though, maybe.
Yes,
maybe,
please.
If the 29th to appoint, how do we know who to appoint?
Well,
are you asking for volunteers or at that time put out the call?
At that time, okay, we would put out great, the call. I haven't thought great. It through, and we can have some discussion on
yep.
that at that time.
That'd be great.
We're out of water, and Frank D'Amico pointed out very well, you start wrenching more conservation out of the system, and you wind up shooting yourself in both feet. Mm-hmm. Because the revenues drop off. So it's a constant juggling act. So with that, I detect a consensus as an item for the February agenda. We will have appointment of a citizens committee. We'll be discussing the manner of appointment at that time, and then we'll follow up and get the committee members appointed. I have a couple of requests to speak on this issue. First, Amanda Rice.
Thank you, President Sanders. I'm glad to hear that you're
considering putting together a committee on this. I'd also like to thank Merle for bringing up some of the silliness that is in the municipal code on the different stages of water conservation. I do, however, want to make a few statements because I've been spending a lot of time on and research on the issue of water use and water management. And we really do need to be able to use both energy and water much more efficiently than we're currently using it. We have to stop taking the demand for water for granted or considering it fixed or immutable, something that's assumed rather than managed. Our goal isn't to use water, it's to attain the quality of life, health, goods, and services we may desire. Some of these things require water, but many of them require less water than we currently use. It is a critical resource, and it's important to manage it wisely. The United Nations recommends access to at least 20 liters, or 5 1/4 gallons, of safe water per person per day as the minimum for a healthy life. When people have access to affordable water conveniently piped into their homes, people tend to use a great deal more, somewhere between 200 and 400 liters per person per day, which, when translated into gallons, is 53 to 106 gallons per person per day. A household using 53 gallons for one unit for each household. It adds up fast, even in a small community. I think it's important to recognize that the numbers we're looking at here are, they seem like they're big, but they're really pretty small. For my household, which is two people, if we save one unit per billing cycle, we only have to reduce by 12 gallons per day. My household, my husband, if he used 6 fewer gallons a day, and I use 6 fewer gallons a day, we could just reduce by 1 full unit per billing cycle. It's not that difficult, and this community could do it, and it would create a lot more water and a lot less worry about shortage. The last thing I want to say is the Mono Lake CSD Water Department has these on their website. They are door hangers that people can print out, and I know that they printed up a bunch of them that say either thank you for saving water, we are in a drought, thank you for making every drop count. As I went by your house, I appreciated seeing your water conservation efforts in particular, and then it has some lines, and then it says thank you. And this one says please help save water. We are in a drought. I went by your house and I happened to notice a broken sprinkler, water running into the street, or other, and it has some blank lines and says thank you. If you want more ideas on how to save water, call your local water department, and gives the website. Save water, save money, save the environment. And then it has water saving tips on the back. And this is just a door hanger that they tell citizens, you know, if you notice your neighbor is wasting water, stick it on their door. If you notice your neighbor is doing things the way they're supposed to be done, stick this on their door. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Mary Webb.
Obviously, water conservation is not necessarily our problem, so instead of having an entire new some kind of committee talking about the water problem, I would say let's go back to the fact we didn't really have a workshop last year, which we had talked about having the workshop about these issues, and it was never really run in an open forum for everybody to. In fact, there were many people that came and said, "Water storage. We have water conservation. We need storage."
Yeah. The purpose of the committee is not to reinvent the wheel in terms of water conservation ideas, but to look at what the district can do if we run out of water. If we get to the point where we're in serious jeopardy of saltwater intrusion into our wells because the well levels are so low, for example, that we can't pump anymore, what do we do? And I think it would be irresponsible if the district didn't address that kind of an eventuality. So you have to look at somehow further cutting demand, and you have to look at what alternative sources of water the district can look to supply enough for the community to sustain itself. So that's really the purpose of the committee. It's not to look at more water conservation ideas. We do a remarkable job, I think, as a community in conserving water, and the statistics, as Merle reported, bear that out.
Storage.
Yeah. I'll talk to you after the meeting about the storage issue, if you'd like, Mary. Thank you. I have one more request to speak on this item. Excuse me, I have two more. Jerry McKinnon.
Jerry McKinnon, charter member of the IOMC. In the wording of the 8A agenda item, it talks about water supply availability in San Simeon Creek. Is the Santa Rosa Creek a reserve that is untouchable? We're talking about saltwater intrusion in San Simeon. It would take a tsunami to get saltwater intrusion into Santa Rosa Creek. So is that a backup supply that we're considering only as emergency, considering that the well levels shown by our utilities manager indicated that the wells were full all of the time?
To use Santa Rosa Creek as a viable supply of water. Brian?
Yeah. I'll just say that in the past, Santa Rosa has been pumped down way below sea level, and it has pulled salt water in. It hasn't gotten to the wells that far, but it has pulled it in. And any time you pull a water table down below sea level, salt water starts to come in, and it has gone in a ways. Also, you run the risk of subsidence like they did in San Luis Obispo as well. And there was a little bit of that, too, and the district had to measure that for quite a while. So those are the kinds of things you don't want to do. You don't want to empty the basin, and that can happen. But there is water in there. We're not leaving that out, and we do have a permit to take it out. And what we're doing right now is we're trying to balance the basins, and especially Santa Rosa, to keep it running at all times. And we've been able to do that up till this year, and If the creek dries up from up above, before that happens, we'll shut our wells off if it starts to go low. And if it continues to go dry, once it goes dry, we'll turn our wells back on and start pumping hard. So once the damage is done, we just keep going, take advantage of it. But we don't want to be the ones that actually pull it down and cause the damage. But we like to keep Santa Rosa running 24/7 forever. I mean, it's a beautiful creek, and we'll take advantage of that. San Simeon has a history of forever of drying up in the lower reaches, so as long as we know. So there's been gravel companies pulling gravel out of there and on the lower reaches for as long as I can remember. And so it has a history of going dry. It does it every year, and so we're not too concerned about that one as we are Santa Rosa. But we've been balancing it. We've keeping both of them as high as possible. It's never been done to this extent, and we feel pretty good about how we're operating it now. We're getting more out of it than we've ever done before.
Director D'Amico.
In answer to Jerry's question then, he's pointing out, no, I want to get clarification, the word San Simeon just in this document isn't really what we should be saying is the availability of our water supply. Because yeah. I don't think I would ever personally endorse anything as far as restrictions, surcharges, shutting off water 50 gallons or anything. And I agree 100 based on our permit, apparently. As long as there's a stream running there, our impact should not be to draw down the stream. But once the stream is dry, Santa Rosa can be run 24/7. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And when maybe I'd like to meet with you, because what is our allocated yearly pumpage allowance at for Santa Rosa, and have we ever really met it?
Well,
now, I mean, you can review it, and we could have a discussion.
I'll review it, but we've never come close to our allocation.
Okay, and is that and because I want to bring this up, because this will be I'm sure a discussion coming August. If we've never really pumped our allocation, was that because we didn't want to or we couldn't? That's two alternatives there. And then if we're not pumping it, and by not pumping it, making a decision not to pump it, throw us into a period of low water at San Simeon, that we then go in and surcharge people or put in these restrictions, then that becomes a question as to what we're doing in operating. These are two assets that have to be fully utilized to their permissible legal limits.
Well, actually, we could take the full allocation if we had some place to put it and store it. Yeah.
Okay. No,
I mean, you could.
That's great.
It's a matter of timing.
Right, yeah, right. You know. The timing it to the use of the of the community and the storage.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So which goes to maybe Mary Webb's comments regarding storage, which we've approached from only a see, that is where we've approached the storage issue historically, at least the few years I've been here, is it's a fire issue. Now, if the community understood that storage is also a, quote, water supply issue, too, then maybe there can be a discussion about storage based on expanding our available water supply. Is that what you're saying? Do you agree with that kind of thinking?
Well, I agree with it, and it's been looked at before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, yeah. A lot of, you know, things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you.
The Water Master Plan, I think, goes into those issues in depth. But, yeah, we should look at all available alternatives. There's no question about it. Storage is not cheap, and permitting for storage is extraordinarily.
And how it got reduced by Coastal Commission staff, not to point fingers at who's the bad guy and who's the good guy, but they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear the extra domestic supply being
That's
available
correct.
In those tanks, and they cut it. So I'm just making sure that we don't forget that and we have a grasp on how much it cost us to build those tanks.
That's correct. The Coastal Commission gave us about 100,000 gallon haircut on the Pine Knolls water tank. What the community needs to keep in mind is that everything we do in Cambria in terms of infrastructure like that is subject to a coastal development permit. So at the end of the day, the Coastal Commission has the final say as to what we can do and what we can't do.
Good.
Director Chaldicott.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to Santa Rosa. The thing that we've not included in this discussion is the Endangered Species Act. And that's what Brian is trying to keep a live stream.
Very true.
Because as soon as the stream, in other words, that's a separate item for how much water we can draw out. So you have to apply both of those. And that's where all the calculations go wrong, because as soon as the stream is dry, and if it's our responsibility, we are then faced with fines from regarding endangered species. And that the fines there will be something we really don't want to address. So we've always got to put that as an overlay over our permit.
Yeah, we have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service looking over our shoulders continually in terms of the issues that Brian was discussing, stream flows and so forth. We have endangered species that use both creeks as habitat, and so we have certain... under the Endangered Species Act, we have certain requirements to maintain that habitat that we have to be mindful of. It's not easy. If it was, I'm sure that all of these problems would have been solved by now. I have another request to speak here from Tina Dickerson.
Hello.
I really didn't want to speak on this issue, but I find myself compelled to, because the common sense that I had witnessed in the last couple of meetings, I was applauding you all, and right now I'm scratching my head and wondering what the heck is going on. You want to appoint a committee next month. You already, who's going to be on that committee? The federal government will be allocating funds with this huge $850 billion if that gets passed. I'm sure that some of that money will be allocated to our community. Infrastructure is huge.
You're sure?
I would get, my guess is that you'll be getting something.
Okay.
And I would think that we'd be looking at areas that will help us with our water issue. No one's mentioned recycling. That may be an area where the federal government may be allowing us to have funds, possibly, for something like that. But why have we not even mentioned recycling?
Well,
not a word.
We have a water master plan that goes into recycling into some depth.
Okay, so rather than have a committee that's going to be appointed to find out how we deal with a drought situation, which I think is what we pay staff for, and for our board to oversee. Why on earth in February, when we've got these huge issues before us, are we going to have a committee to figure out how we're going to deal with a drought situation? A drought situation, I think that there are people right here who've come to workshops. We wanted to finish a workshop last year. It never happened. Get these workshops going. Just as you said about a 218 committee. I think then if you're going to open it up to a drought situation committee, why can't we be discussing an important issue like 218, Mr. Sanders?
But we'll get to Proposition 218 at the appropriate
okay,
time.
Okay, but we want to see real results coming out of the board and staff.
Thank you.
Not this nonsense. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one more request to speak here from Steve Cole. And, Steve, I'm not sure that you wanted to address the board. You indicated that you want your comments entered into the written record. Is that right?
Yes, you put it up there. I can speak.
Okay, fine. Please.
Yeah, Steve Cole. It just had to do with your surcharge since that came up. I don't know if it's been covered before, but I don't remember it. It seems to me that a more equitable way would be to have a percentage, such as a 5%, and that way would be spread, to me, more equitably. And I don't know if that's been considered, so I just wanted to bring that up, and if you had comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I have no more requests to speak on this item, and I think by consensus the board has indicated that...
...water, and if you see a tap running or a toilet continually flushing, don't just ignore it and wait for someone else to turn it off, because that water goes down the drain and it's part of a precious resource. And I have noticed by talking to people that they say, yeah, I think my toilet's not turning off properly, but, you know, they're prepared to pay the bill right now. That's part of the surcharge thing. You know, until people get a wake-up call that, you know, they're actually wasting water, they don't do anything about it. So I think that's one of the things we need to look at. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 8B is a status report on the desalination project. Director Gressen, or excuse me, Chief Engineer Gressens, would you like to present your report? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'm handing out just handouts on the PowerPoint presentation that covers my staff report. And I'd be glad to stop at any point if you have any questions. There's also a pause at the end for questions as well. This is in response, I think, Director McKinnon at the December 15th meeting specifically asked the status of desalination. So I'm glad to give you this report. It's I'll highlight a few points. I won't go into all the details on the project, but I'd be glad to explain them if you'd like. My outline today is just to go through the background, the recent and current activities that are going on with the project, some near-term activities that are coming up within the next few weeks to a month. I'll give you an overview of the project schedule. I'll describe some key areas of concern with the project, some suggestions or recommendations, if you will, from the project management level, and then stop for any questions. Just to give you a quick background, back on December 13th of 2007, we had a hearing in front of the California Coastal Commission, which was related to an appeal process over permits to investigate the San Simeon Creek beach area in that offshore, nearshore area. As a result of that, at the reconsideration hearing, there was a tie vote, so that work did not go forward. But some of the questions raised, one being downstream from the Santa Rosa Creek Lagoon, which you would expect being the main channel in that area. In the summer and fall of 2008, the Army Corps notified me that we got some of your prior appropriated funding back to reprogram into this project. And so with that money that we got back from prior year's appropriation, they went forward with a contract with a geotechnical consultant to do more detailed geological or geotechnical study of the channels that we identified during the spring of 2008. So essentially, that work will build into supporting data that would go into the project-level EIR, EIS, on a desalination project. Recent and current activities that we've been working on, part of the contract that the Army Corps has with their consultant is to do an initial investigation analysis plan, or an IIAP. That guides all the activities and how the geotechnical investigation will be done, including permitting and some computer modeling that they'll do as part of that effort. The initial focus, again, is going to be on the Santa Rosa Creek beach area and that nearshore area off of that. It, again, will provide a project description for the environmental clearance process that has to be done. And I'm not talking about the desal project at this point. I'm talking about just the environmental clearance process for the investigation activities. So for the data collection, similar to what we were doing in the past on the San Simeon one. Again, this data should support a project-level EIR, EIS. So it's not like we're taking this data and we're going to go build the project, you know, the next year. We're building into a process that includes a project-level EIR, EIS, which has its a complete public review and regulatory agency review. We completed a detailed review of the draft. It was an admin draft, IIAP, that went back to them just a few days ago. And now the Army and their consulting team is going through all the comments and updating that into a final plan. The near-term activities that we have, again, finalization of the IIAP. Then there's going to be, right on tail of that, the development of the environmental clearance documents that have to be busy in the next few weeks with the federal funding appropriation for the upcoming fiscal federal year, which starts in October. So that deadline's coming up real quick on us, so we're going to be working on that pretty hard. Let's see. I don't know what happened here. Carlos, can you help me out and advance the slide, please? I don't know what it is. Just to give you an idea of the overall project, and this is a very, very preliminary schedule because it changes depending particularly on funding and whether we end up in a long appeal process and so forth on permits. But what I show here is a red line, which is today's date, and some of the key activities that are summarized on these horizontal bars. And essentially, the geotechnical study will occur going forward for 2009 into early 2010. And then depending on funding for the project, towards the tail end of that, we could start on some of the engineering design and as well as environmental clearance documents that would support a project-level EIR, EIS. And then lagging behind that is final project permitting.
and then final project construction. So we're out to roughly the middle of 2012 with this particular estimate on timing. And again, it's very preliminary because of funding, and I'll explain that in a minute. The key issues or areas of concern, key areas of concern, I should say. One, project funding, and future progress depends upon funding appropriations. I'll explain that in a little more detail on the next slide. Again, project funding. Will local funding be available should it be needed? And this, again, ties into your earlier discussion about a reserve account and so forth. And a third, project funding, but I still need Army Corps to sign the PCA, or Project Cooperation Amendment, which was approved back in May of 2008. They haven't signed that yet, so without that, I feel that we could still be subject to a 25% local share. Now, I've been pushing their project people as best I can, and I'm hoping I get a response in the next few weeks on that. But that's been hung up in their internal processing on their level. So as I hear more on the status at PCA, I'll get back. There were things that were just hanging up the project. So what the Army Corps does is they'll take those funds that aren't being used, they'll reprogram them to a different project so they can use it. It's part of their internal budgeting. We got good news back in around the summer of 2008. My Army Corps contact there said, well, we're going to get some money reprogrammed back into you. So we got $715,000 reprogrammed back to our project at the Army Corps. So that's what's in the Army Corps budget. The consulting agreement that they entered into is a little over $477,000, and that's to do the geotechnical study, and that's with federal funding. There's going to be some Corps staff time on top of that, so that'll come out of the difference between the 715 and the 477. And then I also, because the question came up at an ad hoc meeting or committee meeting earlier, I did some projecting forward on the project cost. In the, I think in the response to comments on the program level EIR, I did update cost on the desalination both with and without a renewable energy system. In this case, it was solar power. And then without any renewable power, the basic project cost is around $14 million. That was expressed in terms of June 2008 dollars. Now, I had to make some assumptions that inflation may be at about 4% a year. It could change quite a bit, depending on what happens with our economy, of course. And, of course, the schedule can change as well. But to get to a midpoint construction schedule, I simply took the $14 million and increased it 4% a year up to June 2012 to say, okay, roughly $16.4 million is that project cost as you project forward for future financing considerations. The same with desal with solar. It's about a $17.2 million projected forward, about $20.1 million. Just to give you some rough numbers. Now, I didn't take anything off of that for the fact that the WERDA program is 75% federally funded and typically 25% local funding. I didn't do any discounting at all for the $3 million credit language, however that might help us out, nor did I take anything out of the solar cost for some of the incentives there, such as the California Solar Initiative program. So there's the local share, of course, would be much lower depending on how all those funding programs work out. Again, so it's okay, we're roughly on the hook for 25% without that PCA amendment. And then there was a few little incidental studies on top of that. But and then without subsequent fiscal year appropriations, the project could stop unless we come up with some kind of financing system to use local funds to help fund some of the subsequent tests or tasks that are out there, such as the project level EIR, EIS, some of the preliminary engineering that would go into that, as well as some of the environmental support work for that effort. So that's basically what I have, and I'd be glad to answer any questions or go into further details that you might have.
Bob, what's your estimate of timing in terms of the Corps getting the work done that they've undertaken?
I think it's going to take into early 2010 to get an actual geotechnical report. And it's a tough one to estimate because of all the permits involved. And just based on my past experience at San Simeon, I don't want to get too overly optimistic. But that's my guess, is that by the time we get through the environmental clearance process and the permits, we're probably looking at very late summer at the best, or early fall of this year, and then there's going to be the analysis and the report development after that, which I think will take us into January of 2010, roughly.
Great. Thank you. Board members, questions?
A question, Congresswoman Capps, and the federal funding at $10.3 million, and I see an escalating cost for the base desalinization is $16.4 million. And with solar, 21. That's a huge gap. Is there any chance of getting an escalation in Congresswoman Capps' proposal of that grant?
I think there are. I think one strategy we've kind of kicked around in the past is we have the $3 million credit language. Can we increase the authorization ceiling from, I believe, the 10.3 million up to 13.3 million using that $3 million credit language and kind of leverage it out and then take the difference between the 16.1 and say the 13.3 million that might result. So there's some strategy along those lines that we're looking at. And then if we would succeed, the common, or I don't know if it's common or not, but large projects. So just to give you a feel for that particular issue.
Yes, Director D'Amico.
Yeah, I want to congratulate you. This is a very complete and transparent presentation. I think there's a lot more data even here than I've seen prior. And I know we did talk during our meeting with the Utilities Committee, and I don't want to put words. How aggressive do you think this timeline is? If you, how would you say, yeah. What would you call it?
Yeah, I think it's very optimistic.
Okay.
I think, and if we could back up, Carlos, I think there was a slide that we might have shot past. And
yes, probably yeah, might, that's what I wanted
let me,
to
let me go
miss
back.
That one.
Carlos, can you re-cue that? And I think it's somewhere in the middle of that presentation. Let me just have it better. But bear with me. I wanted to make a point, and I'm glad you brought this up because yeah. I know there was one slide in particular, and let me just see.
Next.
Where was it?
It's not in there.
Huh.
You missed it.
I don't know how it got deleted. That's weird. Anyway, let's put it on the overhead then. That's a mystery to me.
Can you give it to him?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, bear with us. We're getting there. Okay, this is the missing slide, and I apologize. It's a mystery to me. I've had bulbs burned out, but I haven't slipped slides like that before in the past. The intent of this slide is just to show that within the details of that schedule, again, those bars that you saw in the overview were many different activities combined in summer, and right in the schedule, there's a direct relationship to starting the project level EIR, EIS, and some of those early design stages. So should that slide out, then the whole project slides out, or it comes to a stop, and then we're redoing the schedule pretty significantly at that point. You know, or we have to
brainstorm, do we want to go forward with local funding at that point using some form of a reserve fund or whatever we come up with at that time? So that's I appreciate you pointing that out. I don't know how it got dropped from the PowerPoint, but okay.
My purposes were twofold. One was the costs, because the costs are based, and it's a good number. I like what you did through 2012 midpoint, 16.4. If it went longer, obviously it's going to be more expensive, as you put a time value of money. But the issue you're raising here, while it was discussed at the meeting, I don't want to not, again, make sure the community realizes, we are in the boat with the federal authorities. And hopefully June or July we'll see the result of having that lowest caps involvement, to getting money where we actually get product out of it. Mm-hmm. Am I right? This will be the real first heavy product having to do directly with the project.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So what needs to be thought about, and it's not a point of discussion for today, but I think it's got to be realized, is how do we keep the relationship with the Congress so that October you were talking about? We have to be there with the next appropriations committees talking about getting this project moving. And once we have the Corps actually involved and functioning, you end up getting a lot of alliances. The Corps of Engineers is looking for a place in this country, their lot in life. They used to build dams and levees. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk about levees or dams anymore. So the Corps of Engineers needs to do something. They've grabbed this whole water issue as potentially an opportunity for them. It's an opportunity for us then. But somebody has to, we have to decide, how do we keep the ball rolling, whether it's lowest caps. I mean, very nice, but then there's senators and there's appropriation committees, which most of the time don't listen to many local people at our level. So it is a discussion that we need to have. My point is, you're doing a good job of saying this could occur. Now it's a known issue facing us. So we've got to work over the next 6 months, a year, or after, hopefully, again, we get our own financial house in order. What do we do going forward to keep the ball rolling in Washington? How do we make sure that the Corps never runs out of money? Because, again, they don't want to. Mm-hmm. They want as much money coming here as possible so that they can keep their staff and they can get this project moving. So it's working in our favor, but we can't leave it to someone who's in a political position now, who's probably dealing with a lot of people trying to find what to do with the next $800 billion or the $800 billion that's going to come after that. And it was brought up, I think, by someone in the audience, too, is that we have to start looking at making sure we put in the right forms to the right department and be on the line for allocations that will come down over the next few years. So I appreciate it, and I adore that. The second item that I cannot leave unexposed, if you will, there's your numbers are startling, but they are what they are. We're talking about a $14 million plant, and if you really want to go solar, you got to add $3 million to it, okay? And I think I'd like to make sure that people realize that it's a great thing to do, and it's probably the future. But if is a Cambria, a community of 6,000 people, the one to lead to the future and lay out $3 million? If you put it in perspective, that's the Pine Knolls tank and the Rodeo Grove's pumping station. So
yeah,
there are allocations, and there may be money coming, and I appreciate that too. But I'm just saying we've got – I like the way you separate it. You make everybody know what it is, and we can have a valid discussion as we go forward.
Yeah, I would be glad in the future discussion to go through the California Solar Initiative and some of the details of that program, because I think it does make economic sense. It's hard to say when you see such a shocking number without knowing what that program entails. But there's different ways to approach it, and I think on a life cycle cost for DSAL, I think renewable power definitely has its place, and I see it. And I'm going to stick my neck out. I think the cost is going to come down in time with some of that, too.
Any other board member questions of Bob? Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I have a couple of requests to speak on this item. The first.
I hope this PowerPoint presentation is on the website because we weren't able except to follow it visually, and there are a lot of details that are very helpful to know. So I hope that it does get put on the website. Every day I look back at Peanut's column in the cartoon strip. I love it. It's now back in the early 1960s as they rerun Charles Schulz's material. It tends to be totally pertinent every day. If I have time after doing that every day, I like to read the agreement from March of 2006 with the Army Corps of Engineers. It's not quite as amusing, but it is perhaps equally engrossing. The one thing that I want to highlight about that, no, two things. The first is, in that agreement, it does not say that 25% is the maximum. It says 25% is the minimum. Mr. Gressens accurately reports in his data, I'm sure, that typically is his word. It's 25% total, but it does not say that. So when we're looking at numbers, we have no assurance legally at this point that we would be charged only 25% and not more. So if we have 20 million, say, we would have at least 5 million, but perhaps more. All of a sudden, solar is not becoming quite so economically efficient because people are beginning to look at what do you do when the plates dry up and run out. And the recycling of solar is a huge financial question now. So let's throw in another million. I won't play around with this too much. We have some really serious financial questions, both for our obligation as a member of the contract in 2006 and future developments. The second thing I would like to ask, reading that not quite Peanuts agreement, I found the following in it. In the agreement, there is prepared by the Army Corps of Engineers a quarterly report on all finances attendant to this project. They have been available since July 1st of 2006. I would very much seriously and passionately request, dear members of the board, astute as you are, that you make these quarterly reports available to the people of Cambria so that we can regularly keep up on what our money would be spent for were it to move another step. Well, no, and I thank you for your serious attention because some of these conversations are getting, over the years, somewhat repetitive. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mary Webb has asked to speak.
Mary Webb, lifetime resident of Cambria at this point. I just would like to say that Cambria has never voted on a desalination plant, and if we're going to spend any more money on this foolish folly, I absolutely think we need to call for a vote, an informed vote of the citizens of Cambria on what we're going to be held to monetarily. I really don't want to see any new contracts being signed with Army Corps of Engineers because I'm afraid they're going to commit us to something in the future that we absolutely cannot pay for. You have $20 million up there for a desal plant right now. That has nothing. There's no money there for a build-out reduction. If we have to have desal, we have to have build-out reduction, and that's going to cost us something like $45 million. And where does the build-out reduction money come from? I'm adamantly opposed to desal. And there is also no figures up there about operation of a desal plant. I don't think this community can afford the water. I don't think we can afford the membranes, the filters, the upkeep, the maintenance of a desal plant. Santa Barbara, the city, elite, prosperous city of Santa Barbara, built a $34 million desal plant. It has been mothballed. It hasn't been in operation since 1992. They don't even know if it'll work now. They're going trying to get a loan for $150,000 just to try to do a study to see if they can use the desal plant they built for $34 million.
Thank you. I have no more requests to speak on this item. There's no formal action required of the board. Bob, thank you for a very thorough report. Appreciate it. We'll move on to item 8C, which is consideration of the Board of Directors bylaws for 2009. We'll have a very brief staff report.
Yes. We attached the bylaws, and what Kathy did, our district clerk did, is just put it in an amended format based on one comment that we received from Director Chaldicott. And then I met yesterday with the Finance Ad Hoc Committee, and Directors McKinnon and Merle had a couple of other
conflict then with 1.4. I think at 1.4, I like the wording up till a period, but I think there has to be a comma and say, except when preceded by an election year. Otherwise, you've got a first regular meeting of the each calendar year with the last month of the prior year. So if you just add, do you mind? Art?
We know that's coming out as a change with Director Clift. We think
takes
care of that. I mean, I'm not trying to jump the gun.
No,
I just know based on the feedback.
Okay, that's one. And then the other one, which is the 2.4C, by taking out any two, a majority, is that a majority of the sitting board members at a meeting or a true majority of three?
Well, it would have to be at a public meeting or it would violate the Brown Act. So the only way a majority then could direct it would be at a meeting like this.
Oh, it's got to be a true meeting of three.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Then I ask the question, though, how would that occur that someone could bring that? Or is it that somebody can bring a request for an agenda? We'll have that as part of a meeting, because no three board members should be talking to each other prior to the meeting to bring up an agenda request.
One of the ways that it could occur, if somebody comes to the meeting and states, I would like this placed on the next agenda, and gets two other votes to have it at least placed for and staffed for discussion next time, that could
be done. You would
that's
just
fine.
Bring it to the board.
That's fine.
Or alternatively, you could call the president of the board and ask the president of the board to
have
it put on the agenda.
I've suggested this and put it on the agenda.
Okay, exactly. Great.
And that's the other change that Director Clift's going to
There's a clarification. It already says, and I can't see the spot, that any board member can bring anything up, you know, for it to be agendized.
Outside the board meeting.
Yeah. But the idea of this was that the context was that if a member of the public comes up with a suggestion, the president has the option of saying, yes, let's look at it. And if he wants to be able, if he doesn't want to do it, but a majority of the board wants to,
they can overrule
it gives
them
the opportunity to bring it back up. That's all.
Director Clift?
Yeah, my point is, I'll back up to the first one, 1.4 and 1.5. If you read those in context, 1.4 says that I'll be elected at the first calendar year, but 1.5 says the term of office will begin in December, so people begin in office before they're elected. What I would do is simply do away with. Now, on the other one, on 2.4, in order to clear up that thing, I would go down the line there just before that subsequent. I would say, or staff, request staff to report back to a subsequent meeting, and in something like, you need to say something like, in open session, the president of the board or a majority may take action to direct staff. So it's only in open session would you have three board members making that decision.
But that,
so you're just implying it's in open session.
Yeah, and that's fine. I just want to make sure that we understand what the board wants. That would limit the president also to only directing staff to do that in open session.
Well, I would say the president of the board or.
Okay, well, basically, we can write it however the board wants. Do you want the president to be able to direct staff outside a board meeting? Because
I want the other issues to stay like they are, which is any board member can request, and then the executive committee sets the agenda.
Yeah, 3.1 deals with that.
It's 3.1.
Mm-hmm. See, any director can.
Or the way it can be worded is the president of the board or a board majority in open session may take action to direct staff to place a matter on a future agenda.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right. That looks good.
Make it clear that this is a factor that is involved in open session only.
Can we go back to that first one, though? I just want to be clear that we got it written down. I wrote down Director Cliff's suggestion, which was the 1.4, delete 1.5. The president and vice president of the board shall be elected annually at the first regular meeting in December or immediately after election and shall continue until replaced. Is that the way you worded it, Director Cliff?
I would leave out that immediately after election. I would just say that the president and vice president of the board shall be elected annually at the first regular meeting of December,
and
upon their election,
immediately take office.
Their term shall commence immediately upon their election.
So we have a question then. Sometimes a December regularly scheduled meeting is held before the election results are certified. So if your intent is to have the new board elect the vice president and president, then we should add some language to make sure that happens. Does that make sense?
Well, the of electing officers are kick it over until January.
The election is certified 30 days after the election.
Well, I always worry about mischief. So let's say that some board wants to elect their own president and vice president before the new board's seated. They schedule a regular meeting on December 1st and then hold another meeting 3 days later and certify the election. So I just want to avoid that problem if somebody chooses to act that way.
I suppose you could, every other year you don't have an election, so you can't.
If the goal is to do what I said, then we can work on some language to do that. That there'll be, and you want this done annually, not every 2 years. Is that correct?
I would just make one rule.
I think the problem you raise, Art, could occur even if the election of officers was scheduled for January. Somebody could sue the registrar of voters or the clerk of the county, hold up the certification of the election results, and it could be tied up in court for months. I think at some point the board just needs to be practical, and I'm very confident that future boards would do that.
So the language Tammy suggested, Tammy, you want to read that and make sure that's okay with everyone?
The president, so this would be section 1.4, the president and vice president of the board shall be elected annually at the first regular meeting in December and shall commence immediately after their election, upon their election, I'm sorry, and shall continue until replaced.
Yeah, the terms shall commence.
The term of office shall commence immediately.
Exactly. Right, I'm going to read it one more time. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Immediately, just so it's clear. Their election. Okay, so one last time, hopefully. The president and vice president of the board shall be elected annually at the first meeting in December, and the term of office shall commence immediately upon their election and shall continue until replaced.
Sounds right to me. Good. Okay, so what that means is that 1.4 and 1.5 are consolidated
into
one item, which will be 1.4, obviously. And there were no other changes, is that correct? It was to review the 2009 board committee assignments. Is there any discussion on the item, board members?
The only committee that is missing someone is the Forest Committee liaison. And I have had a request by their chairperson of the Cambria Forest Committee if there's going to be any representation by the board.
Yes, we do need a representative to sit with the Forest Committee, and it's a position that is a voting position pursuant to the Forest Committee's bylaws. There is some important work for the Forest Committee to do going forward, not the least of which is to work with the district on adoption and implementation of the Forest Management Plan, which, of course, goes hand in hand with defensible space and the other fire considerations we have in town. At this juncture, is there a board member who has the time and inclination to sit with the Forest Committee? If not, my suggestion is that at this point we adopt the board committee assignments as presented, and over the course of the next month until the February board meeting, I'll work to see if any one of us might be willing to sit as a Forest Committee liaison representative. If that approach is acceptable, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the recommendations on the positions on the committees.
Is there a second? There's a motion and a second to approve the committee assignments as presented. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I will be working to find a Forest Committee liaison representative. We will now move to public comments. This is the point on the agenda when persons are invited to address the board on matters that are not on the board agenda. I have several requests to speak. The first is, under 8D, Amanda Rice, I overlooked your request to speak.
Last year, voted to take action and try and build a better relationship between the council, which represents this community, to the county on things with county supervision. And I'm just here to express my thanks that we've got that going forward. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now we'll move to public comment. And the first request to speak is from Jerry McKinnon.
Jerry McKinnon. This time I am speaking on behalf of the Cambria American Legion Post 432 relative to the budget. I respectfully request that the Budget and Finance Committee recommend reverting to past practice of having a budget page for the Cambria Veterans Memorial Building to be adopted for the fiscal year 2009-2010. The rationale supporting that is that when I look at the revised budget for Facilities and Resource Department, I do not see any item that reflects anything for this Veterans Memorial Building. Therefore, accountability for the upkeep of the building is not known. Now, there are two ways of speaking of love, love from the head and love from the heart. And I believe we veterans have love from both when it comes to this building because it commemorates so much of our past lives. We would like to have accountability on the upkeep of the building. Now, I notice in the revised budget, there is a line here that says storm drain. Now, if there's a line in here that talks about storm drain, why not a line about the Veterans Memorial Building? Also, in that particular department, I'm wondering why that's not included in Parks and Recreation, since the new pocket park is a result of having that storm drain put through. Why must that be charged against the monies that are to go to facilities, etc.? Now, the American Legion makes a donation to the special page, especially when it comes to the monthly reports. Now, we dig deeply in here to find Vets Hall activities, and when you look at the code on the back, there's nothing here that talks about Facilities and Resource Department. It talks about Parks and Recreation, property management, but no resources. So we kind of come to a point where we're wondering whether it's this or whether it's that. When we look at the bottom of this revised budget, it states that East Village Main Street lighting now has been added, but with no additional expense as a result of cost cutting in other areas. Was the cost cutting done that affects the upkeep of this building? If we had a special page just for the Veterans Memorial Building, as what was done in years past, it would help keep track and accountability. So again, I respectfully request that the Budget Finance Committee recommend reverting to past practice of having a budget page for the Cambria Veterans Memorial Building adopted for the next fiscal year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jerry, and I'm sure the Finance Committee will take that under consideration. The next request to speak is from Bill Allen.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I just want to make a suggestion about the format of the physical layout for these board meetings. It would be helpful, I think, in some respects, to be able to have the stand here over here somewhere where, as the speaker is speaking to you, we can see the expression on their face, the expression on your faces. Sometimes a facial expression tells you a lot more, either for or against, what the person is saying with their words. And I would like to see that, try it at least for a meeting or two and see how it works out. I personally think I would get more meaning sometimes out of the facial expression than some of the words. So if it's worth considering, please do so.
And I'll put a little CCSD hat on here halfway through, too. Speaking of conservation tonight, you don't notice it. And speaking of the Vets Hall, Jerry, here's a compliment to you. The entire lighting system yesterday was changed in the CCSD office. Vets Hall didn't cost us anything. We partnered with PG&E, who's doing the conservation thing. So we audited the entire building, found out where we could make improvements, came through and did them all yesterday. And so it's not a line item, Jerry, because it's just something I do. So that's how I'm letting you know. So you can't tell it, but our energy cost should go down about 40-50%. The light bulbs last about three times longer. So that's what's happening here. It was a pilot program that we started with the government office, with PG&E. Now we're going to outreach to the business community. And that's kind of why I have my non-CCSD hat in. I'm a halfway spokesman for PG&E. I want the audience to know that I have handouts with the PG&E 800 number on. Business communities in Cambria are all eligible for this. It's a free audit and a free complete retrofit, no cost to them. Thank you.
Thank you, okay. Ben. Appreciate that. Anybody else who would like to address the board on any matter that is not on the agenda? Hearing none, the board meeting is adjourned to closed session.